Daniel when he saw the Ancient of Days high and lifted up and a river of fire coming out from where he sat. Pictured again by old John Baptist some 80 years or so later in his old age when he finished the book of the Revelation and he said, "There was I saw the throne of God, and out from under the throne of God there came a river. And everywhere the river went there was life." And it says that trees grew on the edge of that river. And the leaves were for the healing of the nation. The leaves is what gives you shade. And it says that we're going to be like our own God. It says, Isaiah, that there'll be princes that will come after this great king, and they'll be like the shadow of a rock in a great land. The princes will be. That's you and I. And our leaves and our shadow, people come up under it. They say, "Oh, sister, would you pray for me? I got trouble with my kids. Would you pray for me?" And they come up under you, and you talk to them and tell them of the good things of God, and they take rest in your shade. It's for the healing of the nations. God's scattered. He has buckshot all of his holy ones in all the nations, and they'll come through, and there'll be wisdom in the cabinets of the political hierarchy of the world, and there'll be those that will be able to lay the leaves of the revelation of God's wisdom and soothe and ease, and everywhere the gospel goes, people begin to prosper. It was the coming of the Holy One, the fulfillment of all that God ever intended, all that he was directed to, all that his heart longed for, was once again to be in union and to be in intimacy, and so close that he pictured it with husband and wife, two that were halves of the whole that come together in marriage. And the eternal God, who lacks nothing, has invited us to come and to so be in his presence as to be his consort, his bride, the one who is the expression of him. A woman goes out and she expresses the character and the nature of her husband. Do you know that? Some of you ladies might not like it, but it's the truth. You know, we'll pick up his opinions and his attitudes, just like Eve did. We'll pick up the way he looks at things, use his terminology, because women are reflectors. Gentlemen, if your wife does not love you, to find the answer, you have to go no further than the mirror. Because your wife has nothing to work with but what you give her. The Lord told men to love their wives like Jesus loved the church. He put aside his rights. He did what was best for the one he loved. He didn't demand to be served, but he came as a servant. You see, a woman is a reflector. She's a responder. A man who will love his wife like that, honey, she'll tie herself in a square knot to do what you want. And if your wife isn't responding to you, go look in the mirror. She must not be hearing anything to respond to. If you want her to love you, tell her how much you love her. After you, you know, put the smelling salts under her nose, honey, you'll be happy you did. You bring her back to consciousness and you'll be so happy you did. The Lord has caused us to be his bride, so that we might respond to him. And the church is a female. We respond in the feminine. That's what we do when we lift our hands and we worship. That's what we do. That's why men have trouble with it sometimes. We women have to teach them. Like Miriam, she grabbed a tambourine. They're all standing around the Red Sea looking at dead Egyptians floating up. And she grabs the tambourine and begins to praise God. And the men say, yeah, that's a good idea. Hallelujah. Horse and his rider thrown into the sea. And the Lord says, "You're my bride. You're the one that I lay down my life for. You're the one that I protect. You're the one that is the expressor of my nature in the time space world." He came to us and he filled us with himself. He baptized us. To baptize is to immerse. It's to bury. And if we did it right, we wouldn't pull you up. It means to bury. And he baptized us. And we walk out into this world changed, different. It is the ultimate. He says, "What? Know ye not that ye are the temple of God?" And that word is the naos. Do you realize that the church is the holy of holies of God? We are the place where God walks and talks and enjoys and has fun and loves and teaches and tenderly changes and directs and reveals. And he is the one that is our very heartbeat, our lifeblood. And we come up close to him like the sheep sneaking up close to the shepherd, getting closer and closer because the closest ones get the best tidbits. And we come closer and closer to the shepherd. It is the one. Now, it says, I said this will never happen again because this happened corporately as a body. Every Jew that was born, they didn't have to go back to Sinai. All that happened at Sinai became theirs when they were born. The scripture says, "What? Know ye not that we were all baptized into one body and were caused to drink into one spirit?" Yes, we've been corporately baptized, but we individually drink of one spirit. just as there was that sheet of flame that came and undulated everybody in that upper room in the temple, and then it separated to the individuals, and it went one-on-one. Corporate, it happened as a corporate thing. It happened at a time, space that never happened again, and then it was individual, individual, individual. And when we receive the individual, we know God, and the Holy Spirit is there. We're like a newborn baby. We've got it all. It's going to take us a long time to work it out. That baby that we dedicated over here, that baby's got everything he's ever going to need. He'll never get anything else but what he's got. He came here with all the whole load. Yes. And the scripture says he has given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. But honey, it'll take you a lifetime to walk that. That baby won't know anything about football or baseball for a while. He's going to discover popsicles, and he's going to learn about tricycles. He's going to learn about girls and all kind of things, but it'll take him a while. We came into this world with it. But honey, that individual drinking, that relaxing into the Holy One that causes us to bubble up and out and over and then out from us, and water goes out from us, and everywhere it goes, it produces life, 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 life. And we walk in the reality of that. It's like somebody that inherited a house. Suppose you got a lawyer come to visit you and said, "Aunt Susie Q, that you didn't know you had died and left you this mansion, and it is chock full." She was a pack rat, and it is full of all kind of antique junk and whatnot, and gave you the key. Everything was yours the minute you got the key. Everything was yours. But it takes you a while to walk through one dresser drawer at a time, one closet door. Now, I believe in I believe that were we taught correctly, that when we come up out of the baptismal pool, we would come up praising God in unknown tongues. I believe this because that's what happened during the early church. You would not be considered to be a participating part of the body of Christ, number one, if you hadn't been baptized. And number two, if you hadn't received, and that's a passive thing, you didn't have to do anything to get it, received the gift of the Holy Ghost, which was the promise made to the fathers. They would not consider you to have, that's the initiation into the body, to repent. What does repent mean? It means to change your mind, to repent, and to be baptized, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We, because of our ignorance and our wrong teaching, we get it in little drips and drabs. I mean, we get it piecemeal like they did when they were walking it out. Well, we don't have to. I have a friend of mine that did a lot of work in New York, and people were off of the street. I mean, real hippie street people, drug users, prostitutes. They'd get saved, and they'd come in and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, and they'd come to the baptism, and he'd baptize them immediately, as quick as he could. And he'd tell them, he said, "Now, by the way," he said, "when I baptize you, there's probably going to be these funny little words running around in your mind, and when that happens, just go ahead and speak it out, and I'll tell you about it later." And he said, invariably, they'd come up out of that water speaking in tongues, praising God. It's ours. It's the children's bread. But because we don't know that, we get it in drips and drabs, and thank God we got it at all. But the fact of the matter is that it gives you a rest to know that there's no second-class citizens in the kingdom. And just because you know more about your privileges than another one who's in the kingdom knows, doesn't mean that you've got something they don't have. You have the enjoyment of what they could have. Anybody can speak in tongues that's born again. I am convinced of that. I'm convinced that anybody can. Anybody. It's the rest. It's our privilege. It comes to us. But we don't know it. We're born again, but we're all tired or not. We don't know God is liberty. We think, well, he's probably going to make me, you know, give up my job and take my kids away anyhow, and I'm scared to death to give him a toehold. If we just knew the grandeur of the character of this one, we'd go, and out of us would come that river, that knowledge of God that belongs to us and is our children's bread. We are those people. We are those who have entered into that kind of a powerful dynamic. We are. I'll say this and I'll quit. When Jesus was born, God assumed the body. It was a limited body. And he chose for it to be limited in that it was only one place at one time. And that's why he told the disciples it was better if he goes away. Because you see, on day Pentecost, God, the Holy Spirit, assumed a body, an unlimited body, an unlimited body. God, the Holy Ghost, the same God, the Holy One, assumed a body that is growing, and the biggest part of it's in glory now, a body that spread out of that temple. When those men and women walked out of that temple, The Holy Spirit walked out with them. And the words of Jesus came to fulfillment. Behold, looky, looky, your house is left to you desolate. And so ended was it that in about 35 to 40 years, God leveled that place off. He let those Roman soldiers come in there, and because of the fires that melted that multitude of gold, they took apart that temple stone by stone to chip out the gold, and you could plow the furrow across Jerusalem. It was over. It was wiped out. So certain did God remove Old Testament Judaism that it no longer can ever, ever be brought back. Old Testament Judaism was right and ordained of God. That we have today is the most pitiful thing that goes under the name of any religion, because it's dead. Dead. All of the genealogies were destroyed. There's nobody to know who was in the priesthood and who was of that. You only have, you know, rumor or heritage or tradition. Maybe there's no way to put it back. You had to be able to trace your lineage back to Aaron to serve before God. To marry a priest, you had to trace your lineage back to Aaron. At least I think it was 10 or 15, 20 generations or so. You had to know. That's why they were so careful to keep those genealogies. And they're no more. God took and wiped Judaism off the face of the earth, because now the Israel that he always intended was the Israel who were those who had been conquered by him, who were his princes, who were filled with the life force that is God himself, and walked out of that temple, and the Holy Spirit walked out with him, and the river started from them and flowed out of their bellies, and different ones came and took a drink and suddenly became a well of life themselves, and it flowed on down until one day you took a sip and out of your belly flows a river of living water, and everywhere you go the river goes with you. It produces life everywhere it goes. Life, life, life. The presence of the living God produces life. Everybody knows there's water. Some will come to it and drink. Some won't come to it, but they know that there's water there. It is the satisfaction of the cellular craving of the body and soul and spirit of man. God among us, himself, joined to us, cleaved to us with great joy on his part, and with trembling, pitiful, scary tippy toes, we are entering into the resting. We're learning how not only to walk out in the river, but how to float. You can't float unless you rest, give yourself to the water, and then where the river goes, so you go. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, I've already said language is inadequate, mine more than anybody else's, but Lord, I thank you for what I don't understand. I thank you for what I'm not able to say. And I thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Give us an appreciation for the unspeakable wonder of the river that's within us. Holy Spirit, thou God of very God, revealer of the heart of Father, corrector and instructor, the one that I want to call up in your lap when I make a bobo, the one that tenderly cares for me like a mother. God, thou Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Forgive us for our crassness, for our insensitivity, for our rebellion, for our slander of your character. Forgive us, oh God, Holy One, for neglecting. Oh, Spirit of the living God, reveal to us the face of our Savior and the character of our God. In your tenderness, oh Lord, teach us how to love. We bless you. We thank you, Father, for deciding. We thank you, Son, for bringing it about. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for implementing it to us. You are our heart's desire. And the amazing thing is, we are your heart's desire. The thought that you want us blows me away, Lord. I don't even like myself. And yet you desire my company to spend time with me. Blessed be your sweet and holy name. We praise you, Lord, not for what we understand about you, but we praise you for what you know about yourself. We offer you adoration. We offer you love. We offer you genuine affection. Oh, Lord, we believe. Help thou our unbelief. stir us, O God. Stir us with the rod of your correction and the rod of your instruction. Stir us, O God, to where we know and where our to where we know where our bread lies. To where we know, cause the reality of the filth of the world to unfold before our eyes to the degree that it cures us of any hunger we might have for it. And deliver us, O God, into the delights of your pleasures which are forevermore.